we are as parents are experts, and when we are putting our kids in the care of anyone else, yeah, it is on us in a way to share our expertise. And not our expertise about autism, and not our expertise about neurodivergent kids as an archetype. It's our expertise on our kid.
Yeah.
Sharing that expertise so that you can get an experience that's individualized, that's tailored to the needs of children, which is what all good education is about, right? Mm-hmm. Not just for our kids.
Welcome to Mindfully Parenting Atypical Kids, a neurodiversity affirming parenting podcast, where you'll find connections, strategies, and support for your journey.
Do you long to embody mindfulness and compassion in your parenting life? Yeah, me too. Welcome to Mindfully Parenting Atypical Kids. Let's go on this journey together.
Welcome, parents. I want to introduce you to Michelle Nuringer. She is a mom of two amazing kids that have different ways of being in the world. She's also spent over 20 years designing and building technology products that help small businesses do what they love. She learned early in her career that to craft solutions that work, you must first discover and deeply understand who you're serving. I love that. Their needs, aspirations, and motivations. Michelle has translated this mindset to her autistic daughter's educational and therapeutic journey, learning and discovering alongside all of the various teachers and therapists that they have worked with together. Thank you so much for being here.
We were basically in a conversation for over an hour, and toward the end, Kate's like, we should have recorded this.
Yeah, I'm like, why didn't we record this? Other parents would really benefit from this, just this dialogue.
The reason I contacted Kate was with this question that has been on my mind, and I think it's on the mind of a lot of parents, especially this time of year, is can you teach enrichment providers like the art classes and the drama classes and the music classes, can you teach them how to work with our kids?
Right.
And where this came from is, you know, I'm really on a mission to connect my neurodivergent kid to the activities that light her up. Especially now there's more light at the end of the day, summer's coming, and she has a lot of specialized interests. So she loves to perform and make up songs. She loves Encanto, Peppa Pig.
What other interests does Maya have?
So she has very deep interests in very specific areas, right? So right now she is obsessed with Four Town, the fictitious band that's inside of the Turning Red movie, right? Just that. And so she knows all of their names, and we print out coloring sheets and she does Four Town. Maya has a great imagination, and she likes to connect her Encanto friends with her Peppa friends, and they all live in the Peppa house, and then they go on the school bus. And she's just a really awesome, fun, really fun, adorable person. She is.
And how old is she now?
She's 7. Where it came from is Maya was going through like this Encanto phase. And I was looking for, I want to find these activities that are going to light her up. Not things that are going to teach her social skills or teach her adaptive sports or whatever, but things that, and I found this the 7-day Encanto camp for the summer. Oh my God. And I told her Encanto camp. She said, yes, I want to go to Encanto camp. I'm so excited about it. So, of course we need to figure out whether it's going to be right, whether they're going to be able to handle it. And so I found that they had a 1-day frozen camp that was during one of the school holidays. I said, let's try that out. And if we can do 1 day, maybe we can do 7 days. And so then you go through the enrollment process, which for parents of neurodivergent kids, it's like, what do I disclose about my kid on this form, right? What do I say? Do I say anything? I'll usually say things like, Maya has a very happy kid, has some difficulty transitioning, sometimes has difficulty expressing her needs. And maybe on this one form, I might have said autistic, because immediately I got the email back saying, you know, our staff isn't really licensed to work with autistic kids. Like, right. Right. Well, licensing, right? You know, she, you know, Maya doesn't have any medical issues. They're not administering anything, right?
Right. Yeah.
That's a different way of thinking and being in the world. So, you know, so then that became a phone call. It's like, we want to learn more about her so she could be successful in the program. It always happens. So you get on the call with the organizer, and then the way it ends is, you know, we really want her to be successful. Would you be willing to come with her, be an extra set of hands in the room? And I said, sure. Like, absolutely. I want to see this program for myself. And what I observed in this class, which is, seems to be a theme in this exploration, is that she's a really happy kid. You know, she's not disruptive. She's, the kids are running around, she's running around, you know, but she's not there. Like, she's operating on another wavelength. She's not getting anything out of the class.
And you could tell that. Could the providers tell that?
I don't think that the providers could. I think that if I hadn't been there and just seen what was going on, the report back to me at the end of the day, being like, Maya's really exuberant. She had a great time. She was running around with the other kids. Yeah. And
we'd love to have her, probably. Right?
Right. Exactly. Because if she's not like a behavioral challenge, and she's, you know, not a safety risk, I think that they probably would have had her, just like the early years when Maya was in preschool, where she seems like she's fine. She's playing over there with trains. She's great. She's been playing over there with trains for 2 hours. And that was seen as that's a good thing. It's like, well, she's not really integrating with the class. She's not really learning anything. You know, she'd be one of those kids that in the gray area where I could see her going to this program for a week or all summer. And knowing Maya, she's going to the room that has really big mirrors. So she's looking at herself in the mirror. She's getting to run around when the kids are running around, but they're running around purposely because they're following a game, and she's just running around to move her body.
That's also great, right? Running around to move your body.
Sure. Sure. You know, but I think there's a disconnect there. And in terms of the love of learning, of deepening a connection with her special interest, and, you know, our goal is to sort of expose her to something that she feels a part of. It wasn't accomplishing that.
Right. So I just want to address the amount of privilege that this conversation, like, I come from the same amount of privilege, right? That this conversation assumes, right? We live in New York City. There are so many options. We can afford camp.
And it's a privilege to be able to pay to try something out that might not have any outcome, right?
Yeah. And to have the time to show up and sit there and kind of observe a camp. I mean, it comes at a cost. Like, I found that, you know, my work has been really different, and I'm very glad that I'm able to have more flexibility with my work, but it's definitely different than if Ocean needed less support and was neurotypical. So yeah, also acknowledging that you were willing and able to spend that day kind of observing, but you wouldn't want to spend the whole summer sitting at camp with her, probably.
No, absolutely not. And I think that it's almost like, and I was, you know, thinking about if these programs had any sort of preview or orientation period, where, you know, families may check out the space and kids kind of get a preview. But our kids really do well when they really get to preview, right? They get to meet who they're going to be seeing every day. They get to get a little taste of what the activities are going to be. You know, when I don't get to actually be in the room, which I couldn't during COVID, right? I wasn't even allowed in. It was, what can you send me about your program that I can look at home and work on with Maya? Is there a video of a game that you're going to be doing during this program? Can I see a picture of you? You know, can you tell me what you like? That's almost part of my system right now, which is anytime we're doing something new, I am constructing a preview period for my kid.
I made this little bullet point list based on our other conversation, which was the kind of activity, the size of the group, parent involvement, the space, like how the sensory environment, the child responds to the sensory environment. And I wrote breaks and then meaningful inclusion. So should we talk a little more about meaningful inclusion, how kids, your idea was for kids to help co-create the curriculum and to have a voice in, so that would make it more meaningful to have their own voice rather than just kind of being in the space, being included, right? But not really, like you said, being there, like feeling peripheral to the space somehow.
Yeah, I mean, the list came out of, you know, if I were to design these programs or have some feedback to these program coordinators, about how can you serve our kids? You know, there's definitely a checklist of things that would make it more more structured, a little more intentional. But in terms of the driving the curriculum, so one of the things I like to use with Maya, and I got this from Jane and Rivendell, is what's your idea, right? Is really honoring your idea. Because if you think about school or enrichment, if a provider is coming in with a whole agenda, like we're going to play red light, green light, and then we're going to play the taxi game or the whatever game, it's basically like, this is my idea, this is my idea, this is my idea, from the perspective of the provider, right? And sometimes they might ask the kids, like, what do you want to do next, this or that? But our kids, and my child in particular, really, when it's her idea, she's much more likely to stick with it and get really involved, right?
Oh my God, yes.
These are the kids that, like, are the first to raise their hand, and because they want to contribute the idea, right? Yeah. It's going to be the chocolate ice cream shop. But there's definitely frustration if she's not the first one to be called on for her idea, yeah. You know? And that day when we were in the frozen camp, you know, it was always downward dog for some reason. Everybody, I want downward dog. She was just obsessed. We just wanted everybody to go into a downward dog all the time. Which I thought was great. I think we should all go into downward dog spontaneously.
Let's do it right now. I haven't done my downward dog yet today, so.
But you know, it's you do your dog. But I mean, it's all related to honoring what's going on in their head, what they're thinking about at the moment. If Maya's idea is downward dog, there's something to that. That she needs that she wants to share that. And to get in the head of somebody who wants to do a downward dog, yeah, go, let's do a downward dog. I mean, it's the same thing.
And honestly, yeah. I mean, I feel so much better having done it for like 30 seconds or less, because it brings blood flow to your head. And, you know, any kind of inversion, but especially that one, like you're getting the proprioception. There's so much. It can be very grounding, like, brings you closer to the ground, right? And into the space. So, and then moving and breathing together in unison. Like if all the kids are doing downward dog together, that's therapeutic.
These kids can contribute their idea. And even in situations where it can't be completely child led, where there's certain things that they need to do. Mm-hmm. It's always like, okay, well, what's your idea? Oh, your idea is to do a downward dog. Awesome. Like my idea is to do some breathing. We're gonna do some breathing and we're gonna do the downward dog, right? So it's really like, again, honoring what they're thinking, and really not only that it's okay, but we're gonna take your lead. And this is very much what I want people to know about my kid, which is ask them what they're thinking. Ask them what they're what are you thinking right now? What do you, you know, what's your idea? Especially in situations where they could be a little bit more challenging and there's mm-hmm. there is more of a disconnect or a difficulty transitioning or just a situation where it seems like she's getting dysregulated. Mm-hmm. Are you thinking about the downward dog? Are you thinking about that right now? Like, yeah, I really wanted to, should we do it, right? Like, I always need to take a breath as a parent because we can all in the moment be very reactive, especially when things are escalated. And really just take a step back and like, what's going on in your head? You know, what else is happening here in the environment? And it just, it calms me down and it centers me when I take that,
that when moment. You stop and when get curious.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I hear that. As far as like working with providers who already have programs and haven't really thought about how they could be more inclusive. I love your idea of broadening the idea of how people process information. What you said about introducing kids to a kind of a broader range of experiences, like, there's like tech camps for neurodivergent kids and a lot of neurodivergent I'm autistic kids like tech camps, but plenty don't.
Well, I mean, so we think about, I can have a lot of conversations with an organizer, an enrichment organizer, right? But they're not actually going to be in the room teaching my kid.
That's been our experience.
Yeah. Their staff are, I mean, it's very hard to fill these positions. They don't pay very well, and there's a lot of other things you could be doing. And so they're teenagers, right? And I remember teaching in a summer camp when I was a teenager, and I was just like, kids, I'm dealing with kids, right? I didn't have the awareness of some kids might have anger issues, and some kids might have focus issues, and some kids might have anxiety issues, and some kids will never listen. I would just kind of lump them in. I'm watching them. I'm a babysitter, right? It's really just about, we are as parents are experts, and when we are putting our kids in the care of anyone else, it is on us in a way to share our expertise, and not our expertise about autism, and not our expertise about neurodivergent kids as an archetype. It's our expertise on our kid.
Yeah.
And it applies not just to my younger daughter, but to my older kid. Like, it's sharing that expertise so that you can get an experience that's individualized, that's tailored to the needs of children, which is what all good education is about, right? Mm-hmm. Not just for our kids. Mm-hmm. And I love how, like, on the operating instructions, like, this isn't deficits, right? There may be a little bit here around like, hi, I'm Maya, and I don't like to get wet, and I don't like a lot of noises, and you know, put on my headphones. But you know, it would lead with strengths. It's like, and I love dancing, and I love Peppa Pig, and the gift of just knowing what some of the go-tos to instantly connect with someone are. Oftentimes, we just have challenges connecting with people, and if we just had, you know, talk to me about
right
Pokemon Go,
right?
You know, it's like you go straight to an interest, and you build a relationship on that. Yeah,
Amy was saying in the summer camp podcast that it did with her was like, sometimes our kids just need that little way in, that little mm-hmm. entry, and then connect the kids who might have similar interests to each other, or just get interested, you know, get interested in Peppa Pig. What's it going to hurt?
And it's all, they're like small things that can be done. Like, we all fill out these forms mm-hmm. when we sign up for these classes, and we say emergency contact, and is there anything you should know about their kid? Like, add a few more fields for, like, you know, I am most happy when I talk about X, right? I need a break when I get every kid.
You see me doing blank, that means I need blank, right? Yeah. Make sure I eat my lunch or, you know.
Exactly. I mean, it's going to be a little bit more work. It is a little bit more work raising our kids.
The upfront work really matters.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why I'm really committed to this idea of the planning process because, I mean, even if you've already picked out the camps or whatever, like the upfront work makes things, I mean, like you said, you do this kind of prep before an activity because you know it's going to help her transition. It's going to help her have better outcome, have more fun. If you've shown her the picture, if you've told her a little bit about the person.
Our podcast is young and needs your support to grow. So please leave an honest review on Apple Podcasts so that other parents can find it and receive the support, connection, and tools that we're sharing here.
So what do you most want to be remembered for, Michelle?
For being a listener, for being a deep observer of behavior and what's beneath it. I really do think that it's so easy to act based on what's on the surface. And I think that my whole purpose, whether it be work or as a parent, is to really act and to ultimately innovate based on understanding core needs. What's really happening beneath the surface.
Understanding core needs. I love that.
Yeah.
So I love what you wrote when I asked, how do you most want listeners to benefit from this episode? I'll just read it. I want listeners to join me in changing the world for our kids so they can grow up in a world where they can take up space, be themselves, and not be beholden to neurotypical goals and milestones.
It's like a mindset shift.
Yes.
Into a place where, can you take all of that energy that's trying to work within the system and take that energy to really think about what could be with these kids, like fully actualized, you know? And like, I don't want to teach Maya that to not dance when she's happy, you know? This is going to be a really bad analogy, so you're probably going to want to scrap this from the record because no one's going to resonate with it. But I love Lizzo.
I love Lizzo too.
I love Lizzo. And I just finished watching Watch Out for the Big Girls. And I think that, and not to say that's a journey that's the same as Maya's journey, but when I see somebody taking up space, fully living as themselves, you know, and taking everyone along with them, with her for the ride, being like, we are not going to change. You haven't seen someone like me. I'm showing up and I'm living loud and large. I'm so inspired by her.
That's amazing. That's awesome. Yeah.
Right?
One of my summer goals, because we, you know, we do this process of like coming together as a family and like, how do you want to feel? How are we going to create that? And one of my summer goals I've already got, even before the planning meeting, I want to learn that dance that's on all over TikTok and Instagram. That Lizzo's new song has.
Amazing.
Yeah. I want to learn that dance and I want to actually put it on Instagram at 53 years old. And just, I really want to. And it's definitely pushing my boundaries. I didn't grow up thinking I was coordinated at all. And so, I want to take risks and I want to model taking risks for Ocean and for anyone that I can influence. And bringing it back around to this idea of like the young kids who are working in the camps, the teenage counselors who have no training, and we might be handing them you know, like my thing was like having this laminated sheet with bullet points of like, and then I never called them operating instructions, but I love that language. You know? This is Ocean. You're going to love Ocean. He has all these interests, these strengths, and he, you know, he has certain things, like he's, certain things are not going to work as well for him. If you ask him whether he wants to go do this or not, he'll tell you, right? If no is not an option, don't ask him. Giving them the ideas of the ways to work with Ocean to help him stay regulated. And like to ask them like, okay, if he gets dysregulated and you see this, don't wait, just call us. You know, call us, because we'd rather deal with it before it gets, you know, he has a hard time coming down from that. So we'd rather be there either just on the phone or in person. So that was one of the things on our operating instructions was like, here's my number.
And it's a gift. I mean, in a way it's a gift. I mean, I even think about the times when I've managed people in a work capacity, the more I know about you,
right,
the more I can show up for you.
And I think it's really powerful for the kids, because we're trusting our children with these teenagers who maybe have never, you know, had a job before even. But by saying like, oh, my kid sees something in you. This was the thing with us, with that first camp. It was this girl, Akila, right? And she was a really like maternal type, and she kind of took Ocean under her wing, and he was like 3 or 4, you know, he was really little. And they would take the bus all the way out to Staten Island and back. And I swear, I don't think he would have gotten through those weeks if it wasn't for her. And then on the last day, I'm like, you want to be his babysitter? Because I have never found a babysitter before. She was like 15, 16, something like that. It worked out great because he chose her. And then that happened again at another camp where, you know, Ocean connected with this kid because of Pokemon Go. And then, you know, and then I ended up hiring him as a babysitter. I know, it was great. It was so great.
Wonderful.
So what do you most want to be remembered for, Michelle?
For being a listener, for being a deep observer of behavior and what's beneath it. I really do think that it's so easy to act based on what's on the surface. And I think that my whole purpose, whether it be work or as a parent, is to really act and to ultimately innovate based on understanding core needs.
Understanding core needs. I love that.
Yeah.
Michelle, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. And I just love our conversations. I'm really, anytime I get to talk to another parent, I'm kind of giddy. But these particular conversations are really lighting me up. This is my special interest. So thank you for joining me in it.
Absolutely. I'm so glad we found each other.
How can people find you?
I think I'm probably most active on LinkedIn, which isn't necessarily a place for parents, just Michelle Neuringer. I'm on Instagram as Michelle Neuringer, and I have michellenuringer.com.
We will link to the podcast. We will link to the video.
So there will always be links in the show notes, but if you do want to reach me, you can get in touch through healthyhappyyoga.com. My Instagram is also healthyhappyyoga.
So I want to remind you about the workshops Amy and I are offering on planning for your summer. It's having a fun and collaborative and connected summer with your family. Please join us on Wednesday, June 1st at 8 p.m.
That's Eastern Standard Time.
Take a look at the links in the show notes. Please remember to leave an honest review on Apple Podcasts. It really helps other parents find this resource. So if it has helped you at all, please share the love. Help our little podcast grow. Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining Mindfully Parenting Atypical Kids. I really appreciate you walking alongside me. Thank you.